Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Karen Hardy, Deputy Director for Risk Management within the U.S. Department of Commerce. ERM leaders like yourself in the federal government aren't doing this alone. You're getting some guidance. You're getting some help from the Office of Management and Budget, Dave Mader over there. Would you elaborate, perhaps, on what OMB is doing to push the adoption and use of enterprise risk management? What's happening to look at risk beyond simply financial risk?
Well, first of all, Dave Mader has done a great job in terms of bringing agencies into the conversation and engaging agencies. I thought he's done a fabulous job with that. In fact, I had the opportunity to do a detail assignment
at OMB.
Okay. A couple of years ago. I can't believe it's a couple of years ago. It's gone that fast, right? And during that time, I was actually a senior advisor for the Office of Federal Financial Management and authored this section of enterprise risk management that's in OMB Circular A11. So by being within the OMB environment, I was extremely impressed by the fact that their willingness to just not issue policy, but to actually seek out feedback from the agencies to ask the question, this is a great idea, great concept, great policy. What sense does it make in terms of execution and operations? So that was a great experience to do that. So OMB has really been working hard to actually institute a lot of these languages and passages about enterprise risk management in these documents. Very important because the term enterprise risk management, I think this is the first time it's been included in A11. And then in A123 is also going to emphasize that terminology. What that does is elevate the awareness of enterprise risk management. You know, I think out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
By including it in these key policy documents, it really brings to the forefront risk management across government. And it really forces us to think outside the box. And it really makes us think about things other than financial risk, because a lot of the headlines on the news aren't necessarily related to financial risk. A lot of it is reputational risk, right? So we have a lot of that. So we're not exempt from any of these different experiences that that we see happening outside of government.
Well, could you tell us, given your detail to OMB, perhaps you can give us a sense of the attributes of effective risk management as identified by them?
Well, there are quite a few. They aren't identified by OMB, but they are, these are standard international and well-known practices across all industries. Some of them include the fact that effective risk management creates and protects value. We talked about how risk management is a part of organizational processes. It's part of decision making. It explicitly addresses uncertainty. We talked about that a little bit. It's systematic, it's structured, and it's timely. It's based on the best available information. It's tailored to and responsive to the evolving risk profile of the agency. Interestingly enough, it takes into account the human factors. We talked about, and I thought that was interesting to have that considered as one of the key attributes, but it's true. The human factor that goes into managing risk within an organization, because people bring biases, personal biases into that context. Transparency and being inclusive, dynamic, responsive to change, and that really it facilitates continued improvement within the organization as a whole. So it does a lot of things. There's a lot of attributes to it.
Yeah.
But again, these are principles and attributes that all agencies are engaged in terms of practicing risk management.
So I was wondering, the value of risk management, how can the strategies around it improve, say, senior leadership decision making? Can you give us a sense of that?
Well, you talk about the value?
Yeah.
Let's go back to value, because that comes up a lot in terms of what's the value add of enterprise risk management. And to simplify it, but to the best way I can, what you value and what I value could be two different things. It doesn't mean that we don't have value systems. It means that we do. There's certain things we value. Mm-hmm. And we decide on what we value based on what we know are the benefits. And enterprise risk management, this, we spoke earlier about the benefits of enterprise risk management. Now, it's up to you and what you value within your value system to determine if those benefits are worth the investment. I don't think we are going to get to a place where you can just quantify enterprise risk management value, because it may never satisfy you. It may never satisfy me. The value depends on whoever receives and decides to accept enterprise risk management. That's when the value is discovered. I think what people are doing is trying to define the value and say, oh, okay, now we want to invest in it. But your value system as a person, as an organization, is what dictates how valuable enterprise risk management is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important distinction for people to understand.
That's very important, yeah. Even if it's not senior leadership, how can I use the risk management itself, maybe as a tool to strengthen my decision making? How does it help me make decisions more effectively?
You know, it's funny. It's interesting because risk management, it requires you to identify risk. Mm-hmm. It requires you to characterize and describe the risk. What's the personality of this risk? Is it the high exposure? What are the consequences if this should materialize? The framework and risk management itself, risk management is built around a framework, mm-hmm. A roadmap that tells you components that tell you how to do this. And the benefit is that risk information is vetted through this framework, okay? Information becomes much more clear about risk. Information becomes much more defined about risk. And when you have these different stages in place to collect information, to vet the information, that becomes much more valuable for decision-making, for leadership, if you were to remove that component of risk management out of the organization. It makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference. So, you know, you mentioned, I think you've mentioned information flow. It improves information flow. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the other thing you mentioned earlier is how essential educating staff is for this. What are you doing, whether within commerce and beyond, to foster a culture of risk awareness across the enterprise? And what are some of the challenges to doing this?
You know, it's important to engage. The engagement is very important at this time. Everyone, at this particular time in government, the learning curve is high, but everyone's at the same place in terms of the high learning curve. It's a good high learning curve because it's such a risk management is not new. Some of the terminology and the view of how we look at risk is changing, and vis-a-vis enterprise risk management. So in terms of awareness, the community, engagements, informal networks that I've talked about is very important. At Commerce, we have monthly meetings with the bureaus to talk about topics, leading practices internal within bureaus based on the things that they have done and accomplished in terms of enterprise risk management, which is very, and that helps to reinforce not only the effectiveness, but the use and understanding of enterprise risk management as a whole. So there's lots of opportunity for learning through public speaking, guests from corporate America, different industries. An example of that would be my current role on the COSO Advisory Council. I'm the first federal employee to serve on the COSO ERM Framework Advisory Council. The ERM framework by COSO is updated every 10 years. So 10 years ago, when they developed that back in 2014, most of the representatives, they were from the auditing community, and they decided to actually expand the participation. So I'm actually the first federal employee to actually sit at the table and talk about, does this make sense for the federal government? Because usually we're the ones, after guidance and policy and these practices are released, we have to live with them or try to make them fit. So now we have a place at the table, you know, trying to, influence it a little bit in terms of, that makes sense for that industry, but maybe needs to be tweaked this way so that it makes sense to us. So I feel really good about the fact that we're engaging at the table. And that's an educational factor for this.
And Karen, I'd like to understand better, because we've talked about audits. We've talked about some folks may think it's a numbers game, an accountant or an auditor. But what professions are most centrally involved in enterprise risk management? Is it the finance people? Is it the auditing people? Is it somebody else? Who should be concerned about it?
Well, there's functional interests. I mean, every function, HR, IT, facilities, they all have risk.
That's a great point.
They manage risk all the time. So that's nothing new for the most part. I think what's important are the competencies around that, because you can manage functional risk, but you need the critical thinking that's needed to think about, well, how does this risk impact other parts of my organization? Mm-hmm. How does this impact my organization long term? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of other softer skills that are needed to actually understand the full spectrum of enterprise risk management. So everyone is engaged. Mm-hmm. Again, the key is, if we take one person from IT and HR facilities and put them in a room, the idea of risk is going to change based on those different perspectives. And then you can come to a place of consensus as a whole. How do we feel about risk management? Not just from where you sit, because it could be two different perspectives. But when you get into a conversation with others, the whole value and perspective of enterprise risk or risk management changes for the most part, only because you've expanded those who are engaged in the activity itself. So to answer your question, that's the perception that I have about that.
And maybe a side question for you, are they going in the direction of, chief risk officers and something like that, or like a term? Everybody, there's so many chiefs that...
It's a combination. You have some chief... Well, you have chief learning officers,
yeah.
Right?
There's
a lot of chiefs. But the idea is that the practice of the business discipline is important. Mm-hmm. I don't think the establishment of a role should dictate whether you do enterprise risk management. I think you should manage risk,
yeah.
Whether you have a CRO or not, is just part of good business practice. However, it's good if you if you're fortunate enough to have resource and capacity, whichever way it comes, to have someone who's an objective champion of the idea. I think throughout conversation, you could probably see the advantage of having someone help to establish the tone, the philosophy. Increase awareness, so forth and so on, within the organization.
What does the future hold for risk management in the federal government? We will ask Dr. Karen Hardy, Deputy Director for Risk Management within the U.S. Department of Commerce, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.